two village idiots with a love-hate relationship.
See, you got fat.
See, you still look like a 15-year-old girl, but not hot.
Who can't stop arguing over Oklahoma sports.
You know what, man? Why am I still talking to you?
Come on, we were doing good there, man.
It's the Just Okay Sports Podcast.
Well, Sooner Nation, Thunder Nation, we are back. This is the Just Okay Sports Podcast. That is just Oklahoma sports. It's what we focus on and talk about. We talk a lot of Oklahoma Sooner football. We talk a lot of Oklahoma Sooner softball and some other things. We talk a lot of Thunder basketball on this podcast. So if you're new here, thank you. And it is our live stream. It is our midweek live stream as we get ready to preview all that's coming. So here's the thing. If you stick through this thing, you enjoy it and you like it, please subscribe, whether on YouTube Live or if you're listening to this in podcast form, do the same. Give us a follow, give some comments, do all the stuff, because I mean, seriously, what's not going to make you feel better about your sports experience and listening to a bunch of village idiots talk about it and you knowing that you're smarter than every guy in the room? That's what we're here for, is to lift your spirits, to make it good. So all that said, I'm Daryl. It's my brother, Jared. Jared, how are we, sir?
Oh, I'm good. You know, I've already got a Florida Man story for you, by the way. Happened like an hour before stream.
Let's go.
I thought I was actually going to be on the news or something for a minute there. So I had to go run an errand and I was coming back and I was going down Colonial, which is like I said, main road in Orlando, runs like literally all the way across Orlando. Anyways, I was driving down a Colonial. And a helicopter, police helicopter, was like flying overhead with a spotlight, like spotlighting cars. And like he like spotlighted me. And I was like, I'm like driving. And I'm like, bro, like, I just bought this car. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and he like, it felt like a really long time. Maybe it was just like the nervousness or whatever. But like,
yeah, where like 10 seconds feels like 10 minutes kind of a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, bro, I was like, it's my luck that I would buy the car that's, you know, like is stolen,
is associated with serial killer guy. Yeah.
So but yeah, I don't know what they were doing. They were still like looking around for somebody whenever I got home. But yeah, it was like, I was like literally about to my turn. I was like, please. I was like, as a matter of fact, I got to the light where my turn was and I was like, if this spotlight stays on, I was like, I'm just gonna like pull over in this gas station because I don't want to like seem like I'm running and have like the SWAT team at my house or whatever. But they ended up kept flying. So I don't know what's going on, but that's a normal day. Also, we have bear problems. I don't know if you've heard about that. You heard about the bear that shut down Disney World, right?
No.
I have been
gone every night this week.
There was a bear loose at Disney World that shut down Disney World. Like somebody spotted one or something. I didn't catch the whole story, but they shut down Disney World because of it. And then literally today, like midday, the lady that runs the HOA for my neighborhood sends me a message like, hey, can you bring your trash cans in? Because like there's been a bear sighting near the neighborhood. And I'm like, bro, the two places I thought about moving when I was moving was Colorado and Florida. And somehow I went to places that both have bears, I guess, with
both
my choice.
Bears, yeah.
So I didn't even know that about Florida, but apparently there's a bear problem here. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, it happens. It happens. So that's funny that your story about the spotlight, though. Do you remember my college roommate, Eric?
Yes.
Okay. Did I ever tell you the story about the time he got surrounded by cops and the minute they pulled him over, they all had guns pulled on him and made him get out of the car and lay down on the ground and cuffed him and everything?
I think I remember something along those lines, but yeah, I didn't.
So same thing. He got pulled over and then all of a sudden there's like squad cars all over. They all have guns drawn on him. Get out of the car slowly, all that stuff. Well, someone had just escaped from the McAllister prison and had stolen a car that was his same make, model, and color. And so they thought he could potentially be that guy, you know, type deal. And then as soon as they like, obviously like get him, they're like, oh yeah, you're definitely not our guy. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
but kind of the same thing of like, bro, I didn't do anything, I swear.
Yeah.
So anyways, and sorry we were running late tonight. It's my fault. I apologize for those of you that are on the live stream. It was 100%. We had like a big Nerf war thing for our student ministry at church tonight. And my daughter informed me afterwards that I was shuttling like six people home afterwards. So I was taking people all over the place and trying to fly.
Do you have like a Do you have like a code for your Uber or something that you get a discount for you to Uber?
Dude, I wish it was a nightmare. So, but I mean, it was great. I was glad all of our friends came, had a good time, all that stuff. All I'd say, let's finally talk some football, shall we? Like, let's get to this. We are 4-0 and 2 weeks away from the Red River game. I don't care if you call it rivalry or shootout. I'm just going to call it the Red River game because I'm tired of the fighting over all the rest of it. But before we get to that, it is Iowa State. And so just give you a little bit of background on Iowa State. They come into this game 2-2. They have beaten Northern Iowa. They lost to Iowa 20-13. Lost to Ohio and then beat Oklahoma State, is the way that this has all gone down. Stats for them so far through the season, they are averaging 21 points a game, 308 yards per game. That breaks down to 83 rushing yards per game. Yikes. And, they are also averaging 225 passing yards per game. And so that's the deal. By the way, a little note that I thought I would give everybody about their averages. For those of you that are on the Big 12 conspiracy train, they are averaging 48 yards in penalties per game. Let's mark it down, folks. Let's track it. 48 yards per game has been their average, and let's see what it is afterwards. As far as players, look, the whole defensive line is pretty dang good. Keep an eye on them. They can all cause problems. Quarterback is Rocco Becht.
Even the broadcast, I watched the broadcast for the Oklahoma State game in them, and it was like even the announcers like kept saying it different ways. So I was like, I don't know. I'm not even gonna guess.
Sure.
No disrespect, I just don't know.
He is actually fairly highly rated in the quarterback rating system. He's a 142.4, 64.7 completion percentage, 7 touchdowns with 3 interceptions, averaging 261 a game. Running back wise, here's what I would tell you need to know. They have one running back. That is one. They have about 7 who have taken carries, averaging over 3 yards a carry. Everyone else is 2.8 or less. It is pretty sad in the running back room for them. Wide receiver wise, Jalen Knowles has 20 receptions for 200 yards and a touchdown. Daniel Jackson, 10 for 168, which is 16.8 per catch. Not bad in a touchdown. Jaden Higgins, I don't know why it says Caden, but it's Jaden Higgins, 13 for 153 and 2 touchdowns. And imagine this, Iowa State found themselves a tight end who can catch the ball, 11 receptions, 125 yards and a touchdown. So that is them offensively. Let's kind of start there, Jared. Anything about their offense that you're worried about, think that we should be attacking, feel like we're in a good position with? Just kind of how do you feel like from a OU perspective, how do you feel like we will attack them from a defensive standpoint?
From what I've seen of the film, now I didn't go back and wasn't able to watch, you know, every game, all the film. But from what I've seen of it, the running game should get shut down. Especially if we see play like we did, against Cincinnati even. Then I think they're going to get shut down. I could even see us getting less than 80. I mean, their offensive line is not very good. They're not getting, not creating any holes. The few plays that I saw, there was a play, I think it was against Oklahoma State where the running back busted like a 20-something yard run. And it was like, it was like him making the play. You know what I mean? Like he shook off a linebacker. There was not much room for him to go, and he was just able to shake off a tackle and get upfield. So, So I think the running game, I think we should be able to shut down. I think this is actually, in a way, this should be a statement game or like that tune-up game, hopefully, especially in the running game, to really shut it down and take that away, because you're going to need to try to do that going into next week. Yeah, I mean, like you said, they've got some guys on the edge, and it's just like it's one of those things of like you got the secondary is going to have to play well to shut down skill position guys on the outside, especially like we've seen in the past big tight end types that can move that have given us fits, especially even at Iowa State amongst other places. But Iowa State's obviously kind of been their bread and butter to some degree. So, yeah, I think you're going to have to, like, really, this will be a good game for us to see if we can't shut down one of those big-bodied. Because, really, when you look at their tight ends, a lot of times, it's a big-bodied receiver is what it is. That's, Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is I'm going to be looking for. I really want to see if, like, Keith Lawrence or Peyton Bowen, like, some of those guys are going to have big games. You know, and then, obviously, for me personally, I just want to see Danny Stutzman. I want to see if he's just going to keep the train rolling. I mean, through four games, he's looked phenomenal in every single game. But it's like, I need to see him, you know, have that. I need his dial to be turned to 11 going into Texas.
Yeah. And by the way, to come back to your big body, I wasn't sure. I looked it up. Benjamin Bramer, their tight end, who has the 11 receptions for 125, 6'7", 240. 6'7", 240. So big target over the middle, those kinds of things. But I agree with you. Their running game is bad. I would say this. I don't mean to be disrespectful, and I hate that. And I'm the kind of person who likes to kind of doomsday every week. Here's how we could lose this game. But honestly, from what I've seen, and this, I don't think this is a lack of recruiting or development for ISU as much as it is just they lost all those players because of the gambling scandal that were all going to be important cogs of the wheel, right? And so now they're having to kind of fill in. But this is one, to me, you put three down linemen, you put the cheetah on the edge or a safety, whatever you want to put over there, and you should be able to send four guys all night and drop everybody else back and get good pressure on the quarterback and stop the run. Like, you should not have to. Last week, dude, you watch that tape defensively. They are stunting. They are twisting. They're putting seven guys on the line of scrimmage, bringing three. Then they put seven down. They bring six. I mean, they threw the kitchen sink at Cincinnati from an offensive standpoint. And you just should not. How about this? This should be pretty insulting to any Cyclone fan that watches this. You should be able to do an Alex Grinch this week and run like three defenses and be good to go. Like, that's what you should be able to do in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think they're going to I hope to see some creativity just to see that they're trying to test out some stuff maybe in a game scenario. Like, again, because I'm the same way. Like, I hate to sound disrespectful, but this should almost be a game that you can use to prep for Texas. You know, you can't overlook it, but you should be able to do some things that you're trying to see how they're going to work in a live game scenario. So,
right. I agree. I think the key for this week, just to help you be able to take some steps towards Texas ahead, right? Play with the same edge, play with the same passion, the same violence, right? But you can keep it vanilla, right? Yeah. Like, keep it vanilla, but playing with the same passion and all those things, and you should come out on top. And look, a key point, right? You said a great thing. One of our Achilles heels with Iowa State's always been the tight end and letting that guy just get loose all the time. And look, one of the plays that we highlighted on Twitter and in our Discord that we're in, right, was that play where the tight end blocked down for Cincinnati and then released, right? And they literally did a play action boot concept to hit that guy. And not did we have just one, we had two. We had Gentry Williams and Key Lawrence over the top of that, covering it perfectly. No one bit on the fake. No, everyone doing their job, right? Gentry Williams on that play is not supposed to come in and be a linebacker and fill a run gap. He's supposed to cover his zone until otherwise notified. And that's exactly what he did. And Key Lawrence did the same thing. So I feel, just watching things like that over the last couple of weeks, very confident that we're not going to see those kinds of busts this week, which gives me just awesome confidence going in and going.
And Swayze says this should be a good tune-up game to prep for Jatavion Sanders.
There you go. I cannot disagree with that for sure. Yes, I mean, which, although Sanders is an absolute freak, no doubt about it. Anyways, I also see Swayze throwing shade at Justin Broyles. I see that in there. Yeah. And also, just so you know, in the comments, Swayze also says it's not a conspiracy. It is a proven fact that the Big 12 is out to get us in this scenario. So,
you know, I do want to address something because I saw Travis Skoll posted it on Twitter that, like, Joel Klatt, like, everybody was trying to roast Joel Klatt saying he was being biased. And I was like, I didn't really think he was during the broadcast. You know, he can't blatantly come out and be like, man, this officiating is just terrible from front to back, you know, but
right.
It was like, there was, I think he highlighted like 6 or 7 calls that he was like, pretty much like, I don't know how you don't call that or how that's not overturned. I mean, I actually really feel like he was way more OU side than people remember. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like he was, if anything, what's been bad is Gus and Joel, I guess, have been getting roasted. I listen mostly to the radio and not them, but they've been, I guess, getting really roasted, saying like they didn't really know different players in the game and just seem very unprepared for that. So, which is interesting. That's usually not those guys' MO. But anyways, now let's flip to the side of the ball that I do have a little bit more concern about, right, which is the defense for Iowa State. So a few stats for you. Through all of their games, they are giving up 19 points per game. That ranks number 32 in the country. They're giving up 297 total yards per game. That's 16th in the country. They are giving up 4.6 yards per play. That is 26th in the country. 3.9, listen to this one. Let me say it again. Per rush. Their average is 3.9 yards per rush. That is 66th in the country. Okay. Third down conversion rate, 34%. That's 28th in the country. And this one really caught me off guard. Red zone scoring. They are giving up 87.5% scoring percentage in the red zone. That is 82nd in the country. That is not normal for Iowa State. Right. They usually are very strong in the red zone. They just are not right now. And then they're averaging 178 pass yards per game with only a 50% completion percentage, although they have played Oklahoma State and Iowa. So, I mean, not too surprising there. So all I'd say, Jared, as you look at this and as you kind of watch the tape defensively, what do you see there from an attack standpoint offensively that should be there for Oklahoma in this game?
Well, I'm going to say something because I don't know what to make of it. But you know, Brent came out and said, they're still waiting for somebody to establish themselves in the running back room, which I find weird because I felt like Tawi did that against SMU, but they didn't play the next week. So I don't know. We've heard practice, so I don't know if there's some, you know what I mean? It's such a weird situation, but regardless of who trots out there, this should be a defense that you should be able to go. If you can't run against this team, then I don't know what you're going to do. This may be, I don't want to say obviously it's not the worst, but it's up there. It's going to be one of the worst or the less good. I don't know how to say that nicely. I don't know, whatever. It's going to be one of the bottom three defenses we're probably going to face this year in the run game. I feel like, you know, so I think you should be able to push them around. And I really just, like I said, I want to see, I don't know. I just don't know what to think of the running backs. Like, we haven't had anybody. Like, I would agree with them. Nobody's been established, but it's just been this weird rotation and then practice and stuff. Mm-hmm. So like, maybe they're using it as a motivation factor to get somebody fired up so that they'll just ball out in practice and ball out in on the field, you know, on Saturday. But I don't know. It's just such a weird situation. So that's going to be something that I'm going to look forward to seeing is the run game, especially, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And I highlighted it today on our Twitter account. So if you're kind of new to listening to us, you can go find us at Just OK Sport on Twitter. And I showed a video today. Here's the thing, man, like, Iowa State has really made its bread and butter, right? This whole rush 3, drop 7. That's kind of one of their, that was one of their things. And like that play I highlighted today, I only watched the Iowa game. And the reason I did is because I knew Iowa State's offense wasn't any good. So I just kind of wanted to see what success they had, because I figure whatever success they have is their weak point, right? Does that make sense? Right. And so, not to mention, Iowa generally is pretty good on defense. And so that kind of lets you know what their strengths are on offense. So I watched most of that game. And man, like, 3 safeties deep at 15 yards, right? And 3 down linemen. I mean, you had 5 to 6 guys that cannot be in the box on that play. Like, it's a guarantee. And sure enough, they run right where the numbers tell them to run. And they gain 12 yards. I mean, And honestly, the running back did a horrendous job of setting any blocks on the perimeter up whatsoever and still got 12 yards. And that is who they are. They are going to keep everything in front of them. Now, in the Discord, there was a great discussion today about how they've only given up, I think, like one run over 20 yards or something so far through the season. Now, I would say two things. Yeah, because number one, they played Northern Iowa. Iowa, who's terrible. They have played, I don't even remember who else I said now. Ohio and Oklahoma State. There's not a good offensive team on that list. So that's number one. But number two, they don't give up super long runs because they generally have at least four guys, three to four, that play a deep area. They play a lot of thirds coverage and they play a lot of quarters coverage. And again, let the ball fall in front of them and come up and rally and tackle. So that lends itself to the run game too, right? We're going to let you run the ball. And then once you get to, if you do break it for 8 yards, we're converging down on you and you're not going any farther, right? Does that make sense? So they're not going to give up big runs that way, but big chunks of yardage are available. And if you cannot run the ball with three deep safeties, you have a problem. And look, I don't understand Brent's comments. I would say this. I think his comments were much more directed at practice, because even when asked why certain players didn't play, he said practice. That was all he said. It's a practice week issue. So there's something going on in practice they don't like, or that DeMarco doesn't like. But I would also say the run game hasn't got going, not because of any running back. Like, I'm sorry. Like, Marcus Major is a perfect example. Early in that game, you and I agree, he had some slips, some different things. But in the second half, when they created creases, he looked just fine. He looked strong and he got good runs. The line has to block. And again, they can't just be a shadow. They have to move people. They have to impose their will. And if they are not going to do that against a three-man front with five offensive linemen, I don't want to be the doomsday, like we can't win, but I'm sorry. That is setting yourself up for a very long day in Dallas in a week when we go to the Red River game.
Against Iowa State, you should be able to have guys that are getting into the second level and giving your running back some room to make a much longer play than 20 yards. You know what I mean? The 100%. Where they have that space. But yeah, I don't disagree with you. I don't know why it popped in my head, but I was thinking, like, do we have a bunch of booby Miles in the locker room, you know?
Nice. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't, I mean, it's a weird situation. So I would like to see, like I said, somebody emerge, I guess, and take that leadership role.
Yeah. I really just don't know what to think of their comments of all of it, you know, and the way I'm not really sure. Now, I have heard, and you've heard the same stuff. I mean, this has been talked about in the Discord and everywhere else. I do think Gavin Sawchuk is still working himself into shape and being ready to go off that hamstring. I know they played him on some special teams and stuff, but I just think that they're trying to be cautious with that. I think that that's part of that. Barnes, I have no idea. I don't know if he's injured or not injured. I have no idea. I don't understand why you don't dress or take. The radio reported that Daylon Smothers and Caleb Hicks did not even make the trip. But then I heard Ted Lehman say that he did make the trip. So I don't know, but I also heard they didn't dress out. I don't know if that's true, but that's kind of been circulating. What happened with those guys that they can't dress out? Like, it's a really weird situation with that running back room right now. And I'm with you. I know Towie's a walk-on and he's not a guy that's going to take a run 80 yards to the house, but with this offensive line and the way it's blocking right now, he's your best option to get 3 yards. Like, I just don't think there's a debate about that.
Yeah. It's, like I said, it's a totally weird situation. I don't know what's going on there. There's obviously some stuff going on behind the scenes that we just don't know about, I think, but you know, even, and really just to go into the other part of it is, again, I want to see aggressive play calling from Levy. Like, yeah. I don't want to just see us run the ball the whole game either. I want us to see us throw the ball deep. I want to see us, you know, really hit them with intermediate and long pass. Like, I mean, I want to see it all, you know, and I want to see this be a game. Like, I, like, you know, I told you, I think it was last week or week before, where I said, like, I just want to see a game that's called like it used to be, where it's always called basically the same way, right? Like, it's, doesn't matter if you're lining up against Arkansas State or, you know, Georgia, you're going to try to call the same game, at least to get the game going. Right.
Right.
And I want to see that. If so, if we come out and it's the same thing of, you know, no, zero deep balls are thrown and all that sort of stuff. And then, you know, it's like, and I guess here's my question then for you. And there's a little, this is a little bit of like a tinfoil hat. So, because we've talked about the offense and it's like, you know, we've talked about the running back room, how it doesn't seem like there's been a leader emerge there. I wonder if like those certain sorts of issues haven't permeated through other, like to the, like the receiver room, because like we've seen like very inconsistent, like the first few weeks it was very inconsistent, like Jaden Gibson and Nick Anderson. Like, Nick Anderson's kind of asserted himself, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like those guys, some of those guys have been rotated really strangely to where you're like, what? You know what I mean? You know, Jaden Gibson had the great game and then turns around and doesn't get, like, he gets like what, like two snaps or something, you know, it's,
yeah,
it's weird. So I don't, you know, I'm wondering if it seems like the defensive side of the ball is locked in. You know, I even saw, Key Lawrence said that, like, you know, used to, like, you know, practice would be at 2 or 3 or whatever. And he's like, now he's like, we show up at like 11 and we're watching film by ourselves or whatever. Like, you know, they're ready to go. Like, they're chomping at the bit. So it's like, is the offensive side doing that? Cause like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, is there that leader on that side?
I mean, maybe that's a tinfoil hat thing, but I don't know, man. I mean, because here's what's interesting to me. These same issues are some of the issues we saw last year, right? Where we saw guys that we felt like were flashing and showing potential, and then they never touched the field. I mean, like, right. Barnes was a perfect example last year, right? Like, he comes in one game and we're like, dang, dude, that guy's got some juice to him. And then, like, he just kind of disappeared until the Cheez-It Bowl, right? When everybody left. And it's like, what are we doing, man? Because I think we go 6-7 deep right now at wide receiver. I mean, I'm not uncomfortable with any of those 6 or 7 guys playing. But then, yes, you go to a game and they play like 3 of them. And it's, what are we doing? Like, I would say if I had a tinfoil hat kind of thought process to this, and by the way, Swayze, I see your question and I'm coming to it there in the chat. So just so you know, but my tinfoil hat more is like, I feel like they know what they have in some different positions and they're like believing that it's going to work live in a game situation and that they're just trying to hold it back and release it in Dallas. Like,
that's, I mean, that'd be pretty sick, but.
That's like the only thing, but I feel like that's so like, that's like a typical Aggie A&M message board, right? Like,
yeah.
Remember last year when they went like 1-2 or so, well, Jimbo's just losing so he can lull Alabama to sleep. You know, like that's what I feel like I'm saying right now. Like, I just can't, I can't be that guy, but I really don't know what else, because all you've heard is great things from the coaches about these guys. Like, it's just a very mysterious situation going on right now. But let me come to this question from Swayze, because this may help us a little bit. Swayze asked this, what does the OU offense miss the most? Braden Willis, Eric Gray, or Anton Harrison?
You asking me to go first?
Yes.
Anton Harrison.
Wow, really?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess the offensive line play, because like our offensive line has been like, how do I say this? Like, so I think we have good enough running backs, regardless of the whole who's establishing themselves thing. At tight end, it's like I Willis is probably a close second in my opinion. This is not me dishing on Eric Gray, by the way.
It sure is.
No. I think Willis is weight room Willie is probably second in my opinion, but it's like because of the same thing of like really when you think about Willis, I think he was an immense leader. So in that capacity, I think he's very much missed, right? But it's like they didn't really utilize him even last year. I mean, they utilized him more, obviously, but you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like he was the linchpin of the offense by any stretch. So I feel like if you could bring one back, if you could give one their eligibility back to come back for a year, I feel like I would have to pick Harrison out of those. I just feel like that's the most needed position group right now.
Sure. The, while I respect that opinion, it's absolutely wrong. Braden Willis is number one. No doubt in my mind, just because you have zero threat at the tight end position right now. Like they, every time they split Stogner out to do some kind of bubble and have him block, I don't know that I've seen him make a block yet this year. He's not a good blocker in line either. He's gotten better with each game, but he's not good. And again, he doesn't cause any anxiety in the pass game at all, despite his size. And like, we haven't really been on like a 10-yard line kind of position where he really could be. But like in the middle of the field, I'm not worried about him at all. Whereas Willis was utilized that way in the pass game last year. You could play him as a true fullback last year. You could line him up in the line and he would block very well and fight his butt off. If you split out and did bubbles, he blocked really well. Like, I think there's a lot in this offense that could open up more if he's there. Anton's number two for me, but the problem is the tackles are playing great.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I have zero issue with Rouse and I have zero issue with Guyton. It's all interior. So yeah, I don't think you're moving.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to say that it's just a position group, I guess. I mean, the tackles are playing good. Yeah. I agree, but
yeah. And so, I mean, if they're not, unless you're bringing Anton to take over a guard position, yeah. You know, at that point, I almost rather have Chris Murray back. And Chris Murray was a limited guard for us, you know? And so, we honestly, what we need back out of everything that it's not what Swayze's asking, but it's Creed Humphrey. Like, you know, that's what we need back. If we had a Creed Humphrey, this offense would be, I mean, can you imagine? Like, even with Stogner on the field, how much more effective this unit would be with a Creed Humphrey at the center. A guy that can take two guys all by himself and never get bull rushed backwards. Like, it'd be incredible. So, you know, that's where I would go. But yeah, all that to come back to the offense. The run game is absolutely necessary. It should be an absolute embarrassment. It should be an absolute failure. I mean, you should dread going to film session if you do not average right at 5 yards a carry in this game. I mean, period. Because they're going to play those deep safeties. Offense-wise, I do want to ask you this. I fully agree with you about opening the offense and being aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
My question is this, though. Based on what Iowa State likes to do, right, I think that opening up the offense is going to be a lot more. From what I saw on tape, for instance, a route they've run a lot this year is like Andrell Anthony doing like an 18-yard comeback, right? Like, right, he gets to that 18, 20-yard mark, comes back, whatever space he creates, then he, you know, he kind of jitterbugs from there, right? That kind of stuff. Because they do so many three deep safeties, I just don't know that the vertical game is going to be there in that way. And so I do think those deep comebacks and even some curl routes and things like that, but then getting guys, like, honestly, here's a guy that should have a huge day, Farouk. Farouk should have a huge day because he's so good after the catch. Like, right, get him on that comeback. Get him the ball, let him break a tackle and go, right? But stretching the field, I think, is going to be very hard. But I agree with you that if they get them in a coverage that they can recognize where there is only two safeties back, or they some reason are going, you know, cover one for a minute, you got to take advantage right then. Right. Like, no matter what, you have to.
Right. Well, and I mean, it's one of those things of, we'll just have to see, like, you know, are they going to adjust? Like, are we going to come out run heavy and then make them have to adjust, you know, or they're going to throw somebody extra in the box or whatever. But like I said, this team's just not very good. Like I said, you should be able to do what you want in pretty much every facet of the game, to be honest.
Yeah. And let's be honest, for me, as much as it would be boring, the greatest thing that could happen for OU this week is their first three drives are like 6.5 minutes apiece, and they're just running it down their throat at 6 yards a pop the whole way down the field. And it's just like, dude, we're not taking any deep shots. And it's like, it's okay. Like, you know, it's run, 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 curl route, run, 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 curl route. Like, if we do that all day, which, by the way, that's part of what Iowa State likes to do. They like to lull you into either falling asleep and being lazy with your jobs because they're giving you things, or they like to make you impatient with, we're not going to let you throw deep, and we're just going to get you to that point where you just say, screw it, we're going for it. And then you're in double coverage and you throw a pick, right? Like, that's kind of their, that's why the red zone number throws me off, bro. Like, they usually are a bend, don't break, right? You get down and it squeezes down, and then you have those three safeties, and it's like, where do you go with the ball? Like, there's nowhere to throw it. And then they rally and tackle so well, it's hard to have a high percentage in the red zone. But this year they're giving up 87%. That's just crazy to me.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's, you know, when you let OSU, who's been a completely anemic offense this entire season, you know, they put up, what was it, 27 points.
Yeah.
Like, that's, OU should easily, like, that sounds bad, but it's like, OU should hang 60, right? Because, like, OSU has looked, like, there's people joking if Bixby High School could beat them. And I'm like, there's certain plays where I'm like, I don't know. They probably, Bixby might be able to execute better at least. So, you know, but yeah, it is what it is. Like, you're going to have to come out and you're going to have to, I just want to see them run the score up, to be honest. I know what you're saying, but it's like, I want to see us hang 60 on them.
Yeah. And I agree, but like, again, if they pitched a shutout and it's 42-0, like, beautiful.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
that's like the most beautiful thing ever, right? Like, if they could do something like even 35-0, I'd be great. Yeah. If it was 21-0 at halftime, but we just control the clock, control the game, defense is just three and outing them all day. Like, that's what you want, right? Like, it's just, you know, and again, getting out in front enough where you can play some backups and try to keep starters as fresh as you possibly can. Like, that's no major injuries, those kinds of things. And again, I hate being the kind of guy that just says this is a win. But again, if this team plays to its potential, they should control this game and they should win this game very comfortably.
I think the simplest way to put it is, like we've all been saying, this should be the game where you really, like, you tighten up those screws on everything. And this should be where you look at your peak, you know, you're headed to that peak execution, because you're going to have to be the next week.
Yeah. Yeah. You're 100% going to have to be ready to strap it up and get going next week. You got a major, major test coming up in Dallas. And at the same time, like always, is a potential, as bad as Iowa State is, you can't be thinking Texas on Saturday. You got to focus on the game in front of you and play well, because if you let them junk punch you coming right out the gate and you let them get up and you let them believe, teams like that, man, once they get some belief, can turn a story around real fast when they have no business turning a story around.
Well,
right?
They have nothing to lose. So,
right. 100%. 100%. So, well, all right. So that's it. So give me, not who you think's going to be the best player, but let me ask it this way. In your opinion, who needs to have a great game on offense, and who needs to have a great game on defense to have that 42-0, like we're talking about, kind of game, pretty vanilla, but kind of doing whatever you want to make things happen on Saturday?
I can't even pick a running back, so I guess I can't say one of them. I guess I'm gonna go like a cheap pick on offense and say Dylan Gabriel, because I do think, you like I said, you need to air the ball out, you need to move the ball through the air as much as you do on the ground. So he needs to be able to execute and needs to show that he can. This is like one of those games where you want to see him pitch a clean game, right? Like you don't want to see any interceptions, you don't want to see any fumbles, you don't want to see any of those sorts of miscues. Because that's all, like I said, that's all gonna get amplified the next week. So I think that's the kind of play you're gonna need from him. And then on defense, right, I'm gonna say Key Lawrence. Because like I said, their passing game is a little bit more dangerous. And I think he's gonna be a guy that's gonna be have to be all over the field. I think, you know, I would love to say Danny Stutzman, and I think Danny Stutzman is the linchpin of the defense, but I couldn't go cheap on both my picks. So I just think Key Lawrence is going to be everywhere. I think he's going to be in there, and you know, they've used to, I mean, like that's what's crazy about when you watch him this year is it's like he's there in run support, he's there in pass coverage, you know what I mean? He's making open field tackles, he's filling holes. I mean, he's doing it all, and I think that's what you're going to see, especially like I said. The one thing that ISU may be able to start going where they may have figured out something, it just depends on how terrible Oklahoma State is, I guess, or whatever, is did they get their passing game going? Have they figured out a little bit of recipe there? And if so, that's like I said, you're going to need guys like Key and Bowen and all that. But I'm going to circle Key because I think he had a great game against Cincinnati, and I think that he's just taken his game to a whole nother level.
Yeah, that's a great pick. I think that's well said. And you said Dylan on offense, and always comes back to that. On defense, I mean, I'm going to say a player, but really a position, and that's Cheetah. But I think Dasan, you know, we saw him get beat on that wheel route last week. That again was kind of a rub, you know, pick play kind of concept. But I do think that they're not going to be unaware that he's not great in coverage yet, that he's still getting comfortable there. And I think they're going to isolate that tight end on him a lot and try to take advantage of that. So if he has a huge game covering up that tight end, then I think we're in a great position the rest of the way through. Right. But if he starts getting beat by the tight end, loses some confidence, gets down on himself, those kinds of things, then that kind of stuff could go, you know, go bad that way. With all that stuff offensively, I'm going to cheat because I can't pick a position.
Oh no, this is going already.
I'm just going to say the more of the middle to right side of the offensive line, right? Like a combination of Matower and Rame.
I mean, can I just point out that you like prefaced all this by saying, if you could pick one person, like,
okay,
that's how you prefaced it.
Fine. Andrew Rame. How about that? Okay. Andrew Rame, you know, the snap count, you're moving the football. You should not get knocked backwards on a run play. Stalemated. Sure. You should not get knocked backwards. Snap the freaking ball, hit the guy in front of you in the mouth and push him backwards at least 70% of the time. Period. Like, do it. That changes everything in our run game. Everything. If he would just get some push. And to quote our good friend, you know, or our friends over at Budberry Bob and Beer podcast is what I'm trying to say, right? Like, Call Me R says it all the time. Quit being Ty Darrington. And that's not a slight, but like, Ty Darrington was a very undersized center who got bull rushed a lot and knocked backwards a lot, but knew how to get everybody everywhere. You're not that guy. You're a 300 plus pound guy. Fire off the ball and push somebody backwards. Like,
you're not that guy, pal. You're not that guy.
So you are much bigger than that. Like Ty Darrington played tougher at center than Rame does to me half the time. So Rame's got to figure it out and play with an unreal edge and block every freaking play until the whistle goes and just bury people all day long.
You know, it's that coach speak of the problem is between his ears. You know, that's what I feel is the problem with Rame.
I don't know, man. I can't tell if it's between his ears or if it's really just his ability. I don't know at this point. I can't. And maybe it's a little bit of both, but I'm not sure which one is you know, 60-40, I don't know. But that he has to have that. So those are my two, I think, that that make the game go the way you want it to. So a little bit of recruiting news, just really quickly. We were real excited 2 days ago, I believe it was, that it came out. I think it was through On3 that Jordan Seaton was going to visit OU, which is basically a five-star offensive tackle. People were super pumped up and excited about that, only to now then today, he's supposedly not visiting Norman any longer. So we'll see what happens there. And one of the reasons that I was really excited about him visiting is not because I feel like OU's a major player right now, but it's also been stated by them publicly that David Stone and Jaden Jackson, who are his teammates and both are OU commits, were coming this weekend as well. And it would have just been awesome to have a guy like that who plays with them, already has that relationship built there, selling him on the vision and the opportunity that is OU, right? And look, let's not get it twisted. You know, if OU can have any of their NFL guys there on campus, or, you know, drop it in via FaceTime or Zoom on a big screen television saying, yeah, I was a first round pick because of Bill Beedenbow, that they'd be doing it, right? So it would have just been awesome to get him on campus and those two guys be there to recruit him, you know? So a huge letdown there. And I just realized, because I just walked in straight from church, I didn't see where Terry Bussey ended up announcing to today.
Did he announce today?
Yes, he should have announced today, but I haven't seen it in anything. Wow, this is great podcasting right now. But yes, he was supposed to commit today. Although 2 hours ago,
still says 2 hours ago says, will he commit?
Oh, so he may not be doing it tonight, huh?
Wait, what is today? The 27th? No, it's tomorrow. 28th to 3:45 p.m.
Okay.
Between Bama, Texas, OU, A&M, and LSU, which it's been a lot of smoke A&M. To him going to A&M.
Yeah. And again, just so everybody's clear, we've said that for a while. The only thing that we have, just reading the tea leaves, I do think at least he was still open to listening to OU, right? I don't think he comes and visits. And again, I've said this for three straight weeks now. I don't think he comes on his own dime a couple weeks ago and visits if he's not someone interested. I don't think Emmett Jones goes to his game 5 days later if he's not somewhat interested. And look, man, again, you keep recruiting your tail off because, again, what happens if A&M implodes? You never know how that affects. I mean, case in point, Danny Okoye, when he saw the Sooners go 6-7, said, I don't want to be a part of that program. And someone in his life, some kind of mentor said, look, you should at least go visit and just see what it's about. He did. And he got bought in on the vision of what they were doing. And then seeing the improvement thus far this season flips him to actually committing. So you just never know how the season's ebb and flows can affect a 17-year-old kid, right?
Well, and you've got and you've also got to think that you've also got Wesco, who's currently committed to Clemson. But Clemson's obviously seems a little bit on a downhill slide from what they were. Mm-hmm. And then what's the linebacker kid's name? Sammy Brown.
Sammy Brown.
You know, yeah. I'm hoping like there's some part of me that's like, dude, if Danny keeps playing the way he is. And is even in the conversation for a butt kiss, then you could go to him and be like, look, Brent knows Brent's got a resume that's nearly unparalleled in that arena. But, you know, anyway, so we'll see.
I think, though, Sammy Brown is so if the shoe was turned, right? If he was committed to OU and OU was like last year, if he committed to us last year and saw that season, I just don't get the impression that Sammy Brown's that kind of guy. I don't think that he's an ebb and flow based on popularity or momentum. I think he made a decision. He's going to stick. And in his mind, he's going to get that place back right. I think that that's the kind of dude Sammy Brown is.
I'm just hoping.
I am too. I mean, look, I'm bring it. Like, I'm down. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't going to be mad if he wants to do it. That's for dang sure.
I mean, it's one of those. It's just one of those things that there's a lot of chaos in college football this year. So there's a lot of things that could still move.
Now with that, and again, I'm not, we always say this at the beginning. I didn't today. We are not reporters. We are not insiders. If we ever hear something that we think is viable to give to you, we will. But like, look, man, like we're just dudes that watch football and just talk it. Okay. Now we have watched recruiting long enough to also know that visitors show up on campus that aren't necessarily announcing that they're showing up on campus, right? Like, in other words, it would not be a bad thing if this weekend a somebody decided, I'm going to try to sneak over and see what's going on at OU with David Stone and Jaden Jackson there together to help recruit, right? Like, so this is the week I'm kind of hoping if somebody were to want to secret visit, let's do it this weekend because obviously David Stone helped get Jaden Jackson to OU and some others. So put that guy to work with whoever that is.
Did you, by the way, did you see the, some of the Missouri fans are trying to say that they're going to flip David Stone?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was like, all right. Yeah. He's taking an official visit to OU. Obviously he's flipping, you know, like,
And then you got homeboy that was saying what, like Dominic McKinley was a 70% lock to OU like 5 hours before his commitment, that then over the course of that time said, oh no, it's a guarantee he's going to A&M when everybody was basically saying A&M the whole stinking day.
Yeah.
Now saying that Miami, he has no information, but he's just saying like Miami's got a lot of momentum, right? Like,
yeah, so no, maybe he'll take up golf. Who knows? But yeah, yeah, I mean, it is what it is, but yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see. I would, maybe we'll get some like spy photos of, you know, David Stone sitting next to somebody, you know?
Right. And by the way, I've been asked in the chat, am I going to yell at Matt Campbell? He's on the hot seat. If I somehow get tickets to this game and get to go and I'm anywhere near Dan or Matt Campbell, yes, I will yell, you're on the hot seat. I'm totally 100% down to do that for you guys. And I will make sure to have my phone out and record it. I can do this for the chat, for the pod.
You have to keep it rolling so that when he tries to fight you, we can see that. Cause that's the whole thing. And I just, anyway, Matt Campbell's such a,
and I'm going to keep following him if he does that. Cause if he punches me, dude, like I might be able to retire if he like chooses to like wail off on me, you know?
Oh
what
yeah.
I mean?
And then,
like,
oh, and then you'll have the club seats and then, oh, it'll be Mr. Rich Darrell. Okay. I see how it is.
Fact.
Yeah. That's how he gets there. Okay. Fine.
Well, speaking of retiring, someone who probably will retire in the next 5 years is one Damian Lillard. And he has decided that will not take place in Portland, but it's going to take place in Milwaukee. Milwaukee pulls off a 3-team trade to bring Damian Lillard to partner with the one and only Giannis. I don't know if you saw all this today or not, Jared, mm-hmm. but thoughts on Dame Lillard and Giannis teaming up in the East.
Dude, look, Giannis is just a freak. I mean, he is the Greek freak. But, you know, I mean, Giannis is just, it's felt like he's, especially like this last year and stuff like that, it just felt like he's been carrying the load so much that if he doesn't get a little bit of help, his longevity is going to wane and he's not going to be able to get him back to a championship caliber of play, you know? So like, honestly, I think it's great. I think they could become, you know, a top four or five team in the league, probably even higher than, I mean, you know, easily top four or five with this combo. I wish this is where I wish Troy was here, but yeah. I mean, I think it's a great trade. I'm an OKC Thunder fan, but I'm just glad because like, I don't have any ill will towards Giannis. You know what I mean? Like if he had left and gone to like the Sixers or the Lakers or something, then I'd be like, okay, sorry, Nemo about the Laker hate, but, you know what I mean? Like if it was one of those teams where it had players that I don't like or whatever, then I'd be upset. But it's like, I'm actually kind of happy for Damian, you know? And Giannis.
Yes. And I'm being told that I'm ethically obligated to give my lawsuit money to my congregation and not my butler. I'm obligated to give 10%. Let's just put that on the table. It's 10%. That definitely goes into the church offering plate. No doubt about it. The rest goes to my butler, which will be my children, which means just
by myself. The way. So well, you know, I bought our tickets to the SMU game, and those were like, I don't know, like $200K a pop, just so you know. So if you just want to Venmo me after that happens,
I will Venmo you back once I take the assault money. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. But no, I mean, here's my only concern for the Bucks. You know, you lose Drew Holiday in this trade. And I'm not sure who they have left on their roster to kind of be that defensive stopper, right? Because Drew Holiday was kind of their D and three guy, right? And so while I think the combo of Giannis and Dame will be insane, and I do think they can score points, it would just be interesting to see how teams attack them. And even to some degree, like Dame throughout his career, either his teams have been awful defensively, or they've had somebody to kind of offset that defensive load, right? And Drew Holiday is still a very good defender, very good defender. And that, again, was his role there. And so it'll just be interesting to see. Maybe they've got – I haven't followed the Bucks close enough to know if they have like a free agent or somebody they drafted that they think fills that role. Maybe they do. But I do think they lost some pieces within that trade that I'm not sure that they're as deep and as capable of making a full season – full playoff run as much as they did before.
It's going to be very contingent on the health.
Yes.
Right. I mean,
you know, it's a little bit like the Lakers, right? Like,
yeah,
you lose LeBron or
Anthony.
Anthony Davis, then, you know, they struggle a little bit, you know? And so I think they're kind of in that position a little bit right now, but it was definitely a big story, man. I mean, there's no doubt about that, to finally get that trade going. And then, man, how about JJ Redick's podcast? Did you see that little nugget that Troy sent to us?
Yes, that he's basically the most exciting team in the NBA is the Thunder.
Yeah, I mean, he was given lots of praise, and man, that dude is all about him. Some J-Dub, bro. He talked Jalen Williams up like crazy on that podcast. So that was super fun and exciting as well. So let's start wrapping this thing up. We got to get to our picks. And Troy is not here, which, by the way, Troy is obviously with us here and there. He is in the middle of trying to sell his house. He got an offer on his house tonight, so they're dealing with that. That's why he's not here with us, which that's a decent excuse. I don't know that it's excuse worthy, but it's a decent reason to not be here. Right. I would say for the pod, I'll let it go at that. So, and great point by the chat. The chat saying, "I'm just glad to see a small market land a star," and I agree with that. Right, like it is nice to see one of the small markets do that. All right. Getting into picks, Jared, what's your record right now on the picks?
So anyways, our first game this week is Oregon State, Utah. It's at Oregon State. Oregon State is favored by 3. So I on that game, I've been riding Utah. I'm going to take Utah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Oregon State's not bad. I think Utah is a very, very good football team. And I think even like Uyunglele, like he's had some good games against less competition. The first time he played a really good team kind of showed some flashes of the problems in Clemson. So we'll see what he does against Utah.
Yeah. I mean, that's they've played so well. Utah's played actually very well without Cam Rising, all things considered. So,
yes.
You know, so I'm going to ride that.
Which, by the way, Willingham there, isn't it Willingham? The head coach at Utah, just a huge applause for the way that he's held that team together and been able to move forward without Cam Rising. It's been pretty remarkable and pretty awesome. So not bad at all. All right, game number 2, USC at Colorado. USC favored by 21.5 points, Jared.
You know, can I just say real quick that it was funny. I saw something on Twitter that was comparing Deion to Lincoln because they were like, they both left their schools very abruptly, you know, under some, you know, with some animosity in the fan base for those schools and all this other stuff. And, you know, it's like, it's kind of funny. It's kind of a funny comparison, honestly. But if I had to like hang out with one of those dudes or had to pick one to be my coach, I'd probably pick Deion, to be honest. So I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I think Colorado's going to cover. I think USC is going to win the game, but I think Colorado's going to cover.
Oh, wow. Man, I'm super conflicted on this one. I think I'm going to go ahead and go USC to cover. And the only reason is I do think that Lincoln obviously is getting heat for Grinch's defense. He's had a lot of decommits lately off of his committed class. This is the kind of game where Lincoln looks at it and says, I get hype, you know, around our program. If we just bear, I think he's going to pull a Dan Lanning, dude. I just think he's going to go for broke from start to finish to make a point. And here's the deal, man. I think Dan Lanning and Lincoln are scared of Deion. I think the amount of buzz he's created by beating teams that were terrible and actually seeing that he's a good coach. On top of that, with what he has as a roster, he's shown he can coach. And that is scary with his aura, with his ability, and especially for a Lincoln who recruits off of hype and recruits off of that kind of stuff. If Deion gets it going, he's going to have a major problem in the recruiting front from the West Coast. And so I think he's going to do everything he can to bury him. And I just think that they're a better football team right now. And they have Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be whatever it ends up being. It's going to be like we talked about. It's going to be that game that's 65 to 55 or something wild.
Yeah.
So next up, I think I picked this game because it's like it's kind of like two teams that I feel like are on the cusp of like trying to like this game could determine how good these team seasons are going to be because they're both kind of on that weird bubble. So I've got Texas A&M favored by 6.5 at Arkansas. So Arkansas is 2-2, A&M's 3-1, but Texas A&M got absolutely stomped by Miami, basically. Who do you got? TAMU by 6.5.
I'm going to take Arkansas to cover, and mainly because A&M lost their quarterback, right? I do think Wegman's a very good player that is overcoming the shortcomings of A&M. And so I think that they will cover. A&M could still pull out the win, but I think Arkansas covers as they try to transition to their backup quarterback.
Yeah, I'm going to go Arkansas too. I just think that I don't know. It feels like I think we're going to see more of what we saw from Jimbo last year where it just fell apart, you know, like instantly, yeah. You know, just, wasn't, you know, so I feel like Arkansas is going to be able to do something. I feel like they've got a little bit of youth and stuff, but I think they'll be able to do something.
Gotcha. Well, then our next game is Tennessee, South Carolina. This game is at Tennessee, and I believe Tennessee is minus 12. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Oh, man, who do I want in that one? That's a tough one. I'm going to pick South Carolina to cover. Yeah. Pick South Carolina to cover.
The battle of the former OU assistants.
Yes, so true. So true. One leaves in a blaze of glory and one leaves in a blaze of firing. How about that?
Yeah, that's fair. I have things I could say there, but I'm not. man, this one's tough. I'm just to go different. I'm gonna go Tennessee. I think it's gonna be. I just think Tennessee honestly has more talent right now. Unfortunately,
oh yeah.
Because I'm cheering for Beamer more than I am Heupel. But yeah, I mean, just it's going to be, I think that's going to be a really, really good game. Next, this one, dude, the spread on this one is a joke. Kentucky.
Yeah.
Favored by one against Florida. It's at Kentucky. So how are you feeling about that?
Give me Florida. I mean, Florida showed that they bounced back a little bit. And look, Kentucky's just not, it's not the same Kentucky team of like 2 years ago when they were making that run. They're still a solid team. They're well coached. But I do think Florida figured it. Florida has figured a few things out and kind of gotten in a little bit of a groove here.
I'm going to go Kentucky. You know, wow. Support Mark Stoops. It's going to be at home. I think they might get a little bit of home field advantage. And then, of course, our last game is the one and only Oklahoma, favored by 20 against Iowa State. It's obviously at home. How are you feeling? Do you think they're going to cover, I guess, is the question. I think we've already established. Do you think they're going to win?
Yes, I think I was pretty clear about that. I am going to pick them to cover this week. I did not last week, which I was right, by the way. But yeah, I do think they cover against Iowa State. I do. I think they get out to a good lead at halftime and hopefully kind of hang on to that through the third quarter and then play a lot of backups in the fourth. And they should. And again, no slight to Campbell or his guys. They just, again, you lose a lot of players right before the season. That's a tough position to be in, especially at a school like Iowa State.
Well, I'm going to go Oklahoma for a little bit different reason to cover. Because I feel like it's going to be at home. It's going to be a night game. Yep. That's going to be a rowdy, probably some intoxicated crowd, right? If these refs don't call a tight game, they're going to need to call the National Guard in. They're going to need to call the National Guard in. So I think it's going to get called hopefully a little bit tighter. But, yeah, I'm going to go Oklahoma. I think we're going to cover. I think we're going to cover big.
Go ahead.
You go. It's fine.
What does happen in Gaylord Memorial Stadium if we see a toe land 6 inches out of bounds and go to replay and come back a catch?
I don't know what goes down
in that stadium if they try pulling the crap that they've been pulling the last couple of weeks.
I don't know, man. It's going to be loud. It's going to be, there's going to be a lot of booing. There's going to be some stuff thrown, I think. I've heard people that aren't like diehard OU fans, like, you know, like that they've been like, dude, did you see like how bad the officiating was last week? It's like the talk of the fan base. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it could get wild. But let me ask this. What's your prediction? What's going to be, give me a prediction for score.
I am going to say 44-7.
Dang. 44-7. That's 44 is a weird pick, but okay. I'll go 52-6.
Wow. I could see it. I could see it. I could absolutely
see it. I want to see them. By the way, I just want to say, because after Mr. What was your pick score? Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Who also said that this would be one of the top scoring defenses in the nation? I know we're early. I know we haven't played a bunch of stiff competition, but I did say coming out of our non-conference, we should be in the top 10 in scoring defense, and we have been. So, just saying.
We didn't disagree with you on that part. We disagree with you strongly that at the end of the year that they're going to hold teams to 14 points or under.
Let me ask this real quick before we wrap up then.
Okay.
What team remaining on the schedule do you think is going to be able to hang of the most points on OU outside of Texas?
Kansas.
How many, what would be your, if you had to pick, if we were playing Kansas Saturday, what would be your pick on points they scored?
Oh man. I would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 24, 28 points that they'll put on the board.
Okay.
I think that they are very good offensively. Now, the problem is their defense is not very good. So as long as our offense is rolling, that's going to be going. But I mean, their offense is really good. And I think that will finally play out this Saturday when they play Texas, because they're finally going to play real competition. You're still going to see them put points up. I mean, that's not been their problem. You know, I think UCF will score points and be in the 20s. Because I think that their offense is very good. And then I think Texas, I mean, I know our defense is playing really well, but if you're trying to tell me that we're going to hold, you know, them to 17 to 20 points, there's just, I don't see that happening right now. I mean, they got some dudes.
Which, you know, it has been highlighted. I don't disagree with you. I think Texas has some, they've looked very good. You know, on both sides of the ball, especially in the trenches. But I mean, people have highlighted that it's like everybody's really circled Alabama, and it's like, this is the worst Alabama team probably in 10, 15 years.
Yeah, but defensively, they're still pretty good. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Texas lit them up, but if you look at all their games outside of the Texas game, they're not giving up points. They can't score points. That's their problem. They can't score. And the games that they have lost, again, the thing that makes their time of possession's not been in their favor. The defense is out there the whole freaking game because they're going three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. And as good as they're playing, they just can't hold. The dam breaks at some point, right? Like when you just keep sending your defense out time and time again to hold. And when, man, let's be honest, like, but the way their quarterback play was there for two games, if I'm a defender, I'm not going out there with hope that the offense is going to figure it out. Now, last week, okay, maybe they found something, but man, their quarterback play was awful against Texas. And the week before that, it was awful. The first half of whatever no-name team they played the other day, it was awful. You know, and so, well, they played Ole Miss this last week, and same thing, the first half, the defense is doing everything right. The offense could do nothing. I mean,
so, but in that, you know, that kind of reminds me of one thing, and we'll go ahead and wrap up. The one thing that we didn't even talk about that we would have been talking about, I know we're not to the Texas preview. We need DG to stay healthy, I still believe, even though now I'm not nearly as scared if he does get concussed, because he was hurt obviously last year. And, right, you know, I think we have a much more capable backup than we did last year. So, but just to throw that out there, I think Dylan Gabriel, I'd rather, as much as everybody may roast me for this, my hot take is I'd rather have Dylan Gabriel in this game against Texas than I would Jackson Arnold.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on, man. Like, you listen to every player that's ever played at OU talk about their first time in that game, and they all, to some degree, are overwhelmed. Right now, there have been guys that have transcended that. Okay. Demontre Hurst, who, by the way, friend of the podcast, been on the pod, great guy. Came in as a true freshman.
We need him back.
We do, but they're in football season.
I know.
Texted him a bunch, and dude, they're slammed right now. That reminds me, I'll close with one thing when we get done with this, but like, he came in and played really well as a true freshman. And then obviously Caleb coming in as a true freshman to save the day late in the game too. But like, there are very few guys that walk into that environment when it's truly electric, which this year it will be truly electric from start to finish, because both teams should come in riding high. And yeah, I'd much rather have DG in that than I would have Jackson Arnold right from the get go. But if DG went down, I'm hopeful. Last year, if he had been healthy going that game and went down, even without seeing how bad Davis Bevel was, I would not have been hopeful, like, at all. Like, so, yeah, absolutely. The little announcement I was going to give is this. Got to go and watch live last week at Edmond Santa Fe, which I mentioned a little bit the other day. And got to see Josh Isosa, Bergen Kaiser, and dude, the running back at Santa Fe. He's a 2025 kid. He doesn't have a lot of big offers right now. So here's what I know about him and found out after going to the game. Number one, He was the best player on the field, hands down. It was not even close. He was the best player on the field, number one. Number two, I did not realize he didn't play last year. And the reason he didn't play is I don't remember his knee injury, but he had a knee injury that kept him out the entire season. But his freshman year, he did play. And as a freshman, he went for 1,600 yards in 6A Oklahoma football. The other night against Memorial, I am pretty sure he ran for somewhere between 250 and 300 yards. I mean, he did nothing but carry the offense all night long. And I know one of the coaches on that staff, and I was like, dude, you had told me your running back was good, but man, that dude is legit. He straight up goes, yeah, the coaching staff calls him Cheat Code. That's our nickname for him, is Cheat Code. Like, and to tell you everything, they lost him last year, and that team went 2-9 on the season. They are undefeated this year with him back and beat Jinx. If that tells you anything about how good that kid is. So that was last week. Tomorrow night, I will get to be on the sidelines to watch Kevin Sperry and Mr. Xavier Robinson from Carl Albert. So got a sideline pass to the game tomorrow night in Shawnee. So I get to go watch them live and up close. And so hopefully we'll be taking some video and posting that stuff up on Zoom and those kinds of things, and just kind of getting a look at what's coming to OU in the coming years in those guys. So excited to be getting out and seeing a few more guys with our own eyes and be able to give you a little bit of a report of what kind of players we really are getting from a non-insider, no recruiting site to sell you, just a dude watching football and let you know what we see and what we think.
Yeah, let's get DeMarco. Dwayne, text DeMarco. Tell him to get up there. You know, you got him a running back. Yeah, you've obviously got that inside loop. So, but no, yeah. I'm actually excited for this weekend. There's actually a lot of good football. Like I said, tomorrow is actually the Oregon State Utah game. So even Friday night,
yes.
Friday night, good game. So,
yeah, heck yeah, man. That will be a good one. So, well, that's all we have for tonight. So again, we are going to focus on Oklahoma Sooner football. We're going to talk a little Thunder and NBA basketball, and then everything else is kind of around OU to some degree. But again, we just try to talk those things. We are not insiders or reporters. We're just guys giving our blank, terrible, uninformed opinions on it all. But again, we're having a great time. We hope you are too. I'm Daryl. That's Jared. And we will talk to you guys later.
Night, Baker.
Cha-ching, a Thunder Moneyball.
And you can unhitch the wagon. Put the ponies in the ball.